Govinda Lilamrita, Chapter 5, The Forenoon Pastimes of Krishna, Purvahan Lila, 8:24 a.m. to 10:48 a.m. Rupa Goswami's Summary. After Krishna and the Sakas take the cows into the forest of Vrindavan, Nanda Baba, Yashoda Ma, and the other Brijvasis wander around aimlessly. Some time later, Krishna leaves the Sakas and secretly goes to Radhakund, eagerly searching for Radha. After watching Krishna and the cows leave Nandagram, Radhika returns home briefly before going to perform Surya Puja on Jatila's order. Before departing, however, Radhika anxiously waits for a Sakhi to bring news of Krishna. Let us remember always Radha and Krishna's mid-morning pastimes, or forenoon pastimes, Purvan Lila. Purvan Lila, Part 1, 8:24, 10:48. Krishna's Gocharan Lila. Krishna takes the boys and cows and enters the forest of Vrindavan. Seeing that it is time to enter the forest with the cows, Krishna leaves the palace in Nandagram. He blows his buffalo horn, named Mandragosh, which means thunderous sound. Its loud vibration destroys all inauspiciousness and pleases the Brijvasis. However, when the Brajagopis hear that buffalo horn, they become especially enchanted as their love for Krishna peaks in high waves. Krishna's bliss increases upon seeing the village sights on his way to the forest with the cows. In some places, Krishna sees that the cow dung cakes and patties are stacked high as a mountain. Bulls fight to mate with fertile cows. And smiling gopis sing songs about Krishna while collecting cow dung from the pastures. Hundreds of elderly gopas try to keep the calves from following their mothers into the forest. In other places, the elderly gopis are making cow dung patties. There are innumerable goshalas standing here and there, blossoming tree branches serve as makeshift cowsheds. The pathways are a mixture of earth and powdered cow dung, so they are very soft for walking. The goshalas appear like lakes, and the long lines of white cows with their udders spilling out streams of milk resemble a river. The small cowherd boys look like fish, and the milk pails they are holding resemble turtles. The smiling golden faces of the young girls collecting cow dung, appear like blooming lotus flowers in that lake. The white and brown calves look like swans and chakravaka birds in the lake, and the wagging of their tails appears like the moss covering the surface of that lake. Thus, the beauty of Anand Vrindavan fills Krishna with joy as he enters the forest with his friends. Though leading the herd, Nanda Maharaj's personal cows repeatedly turn their heads back to gaze upon the beautiful face of Vrindavan Chandra. The long procession of white cows and black buffalo walking side by side appear like the combined flow of the Ganga and Yamuna. Demigods like Brahma, Shiva, and Indra, watching this scene from the clouds, feel themselves blessed by touching the dust rising from the hooves of the cows, that go duly, dust from their feet of the cows, is as purifying as the waters of the Suraduni Ganga, celestial Ganga. Wherever Krishna places his lotus feet on the land, Brajabhumi expresses her love by offering a lotus flower to soften the pathway. The hairs on the body of Mother Earth instantly stand erect in the form of fresh shoots of grass that appear wherever the cows have trampled the other older grass. Braj looks like a high mountain, and the large number of children, women, and old people streaming out of their houses appear like rivers flowing down the mountain of Braj to merge in the ocean of Krishna's nectarine darshan. The eyes of the Brijvasis resemble blooming lotuses and those rivers shedding tears of joy. Meanwhile, Yashoda, her clothes wet from the constant flow of her tears and breast milk, anxiously arrives with Rohini, Tungi, Kalimba, Ambika, and other ladies of the house. As the Sura Tarangani, the celestial Ganga, merges with the sea, Radha becomes stunned as the Sura Tarangani, Surata, pleasures of love of her glances, merge in the ocean of Krishna's loving mellows. Gopi group leaders like Mangala, Shamala, Bhadra, Pali, Chandravali, and others arrive with their sakis to watch Krishna's journey into the forest. Seeing Krishna taking his wealth of cows and friends into the forest, all the Brijvasis become despondent and unhappy, like young ladies enduring separation from their husbands. seeing the dust rising from the hooves of the cows, darkening the sky, the Brijvasis remained silent, like immobile objects, stunned. Just before entering the forest, Krishna turns around and observes the retinue of Brijvasis. Krishna stops the procession and waits for his forlorn mother and father. He feels sorry for his crying mother and unhappy father, who are worrying so much because they cannot prevent him from going to the forest. While this is happening, the bee-like eyes of the gorgeous gopis anxiously fly against the unfavorable breezes of their shyness to land upon the lotus face of Krishna. Among all the splendid young gopis, however, Krishna takes special notice of the dancing eyes of Radhika that resemble intoxicated humming birds. Seeing this auspicious sign, Krishna thinks, "Today's journey will certainly be auspicious, and I will surely achieve my desired goal." The elder gopis, who are lovingly breastfeeding their babies, suddenly set them down and rush out to see Krishna. When they attain the blissful darshan of Krishna, they begin crying in ecstasy. The shower of their tears further moistens their clothes, which were already wet from the dripping of their breast milk. Yashoda tenderly rubs Krishna's body while exclaiming, "Oh, child, we have hundreds of servants to tend the cows. So why do you insist on cowherding? Oh, Gopal, you do not wear shoes on your feet or use an umbrella over your head while roaming under the hot sun in the forest, thinking how much torment you must feel from this. How can your father and mother remain alive?" Feeling compassion for his grief-stricken parents, Krishna replies, "O mother and father, according to the Shastras, cow herding is our dharma. Therefore, our dharma is properly done by entering the forest exactly as the cows do. And they have no shoes on their feet, nor umbrella. O mother, by following the principles of our dharma, our fame and longevity will increase. One who protects the principles of dharma shall be protected by dharma in return. Following one's dharma is the best means to overcome fear. So how can we neglect our dharma of tending the cows?" Nanda and Yashoda are both amazed and pleased with Krishna's appropriate words. But still, Yashoda feels some anxiety. Summoning the older Sakas, she says, "Hey Subhadra, hey Mandalibhadra, oh hey Balabhadra. Listen, boys, I am placing my restless son under your care. Always keep Krishna by your side and instruct him. If he starts acting whimsically, then please tell me, O Vijay and others. Please remain calm and stay beside Krishna to protect him with your bows and arrows and swords." While affectionately caressing her Lala, Yashoda recites the names of Bhagavan. O Narayan, O Madhav, O Keshav, O Damodar, O Sridhar, O Rishikesh, O Madhusudan, O Trivikram. Yashoda ties an Ashringa kavacha around Krishna's wrist to protect her beloved son from demons. Krishna bends down to touch his parents' feet and says, "O mother and father, please give me your permission." Nanda and Yashoda reach out and embrace Krishna. Their tears and Yashoda's breast milk combine to moisten Krishna's body. With great affection, Nanda and Yashoda repeatedly kiss Krishna's cheeks. Rub his body and smell his beautiful head. In faltering voices, his parents exclaim, "O child, may Nrisimha protect you. We pray that the earth, sky, forest, pathways, and 10 directions bestow all auspiciousness on you." After blessing Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda embrace him one last time while pleading, "Please come home safely." Krishna feels unlimited happiness upon receiving their permission to go. Nanda, Yashoda, Rohini, Amba, Kalimba, and the coward men and women also fondle Balaram in the same loving way. Meanwhile, Krishna sprinkles the beautiful gopis with the nectar of his loving glances that beg their permission to enter the forest. The eyes of the gopis, drinking this nectar like thirsty chatuki birds, respond with a positive yes. Speaking with a love-laden glance, Krishna gives a final assurance to Srimati Radharani. His loving glance is saying, "O Sumukhi Radha, please be patient and do not grieve, for very soon we will unite somehow or other. Please slip away and meet me on the banks of your kund. Radhika consents with a soft, loving glance in return. As the arrows of Krishna's glances fly through the air to pierce Radha's heart, her glances pierce Krishna's heart in return. In this way, the divine couple enjoy a tender moment of ecstasy. As one cannot stop the rushing course of love, how can one understand these fascinating dealings? Thus, Krishna traps the fish of Radha's mind in the net of his alluring bodily effulgence. Similarly, the swan of Krishna's mind, Manasa Rajahamsa, becomes easily bound within the sturdy cage of Radharani's charming, sidelong glances. As Krishna follows the cows into the forest, the minds of all the Brijvasis follow behind their beloved Lord. Upon turning around, Krishna sees that his mother, father, and others are still following him. So he stops and says, "O Mata, do not follow us anymore. Please go home, make some rasala, and send it to us later." "O Father, since my bat is broken, you can go home and quickly make 5 or 6 new ones so that later we can continue playing ball with our friends. O Mother, just see, look ahead. Although the cows are very hungry and thirsty, they are all standing, waiting for me, and turning their heads back to look at me." Mother Yashoda says, "Oh child, I will send your favorite edibles. Please eat them for lunch and quickly return this afternoon." Krishna replies, "O Mata, if I hear the news that you are eating properly and are happily engaged at home, then I will come home on time. Not otherwise." Hearing Krishna's words, Nanda and Yashoda repeatedly kiss and embrace him and look at Lala with forlorn eyes. They desire nothing but Krishna's welfare with their body, with their mind, and with their words. Thus, Krishna bathes in the parental tears and breast milk of Nanda and Yashoda. Meanwhile, Sri Radhika and her sakis burn in the scorching rays of separation from Shyam. When Krishna relieves them with the cooling wave of his sidelong glance, the gopis drink his bodily sweetness through the tubes of their lotus eyes. Though feeling sorry for the plight of the Brijvasis, Krishna eagerly enters the forest to play with his friends. Seeing the all-attractive form of Krishna, the senses of the Brijvasis merge with their eyes in his blissful darshan. But when Krishna passes out of their sight, they become stunned and consider, although we are moving sentient beings, the fortunate non-moving entities is much greater, for now the forest will enjoy Krishna's darshan. Seeing the life of Braj leaving with his cows, the gopis' faces turn pale and dry up like rivers in the summer season. Thus, the kingfisher bird of Krishna's eyebrows swallows their minnow-like vitality. The gopis' eyes soar from their lotus faces like thirsty bees, yet the swan of their life gets stuck in the mud of Krishna's separation. Though completely dejected, the Brijvasis somehow manage to pick up Nanda and Yashoda, who are lying on the ground unconscious due to separation from Krishna, and they struggle to return to their homes.